Congratulations! You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast with me, Kate Rhodes.
And me, Maysoon Wazwaz.
We're back! We're off our summertime schedule and we're back on our normal school year schedule. Kevin Killian's memorial was beautiful. Cried the whole time. I have nothing but sadness now.
Mission Pie's last day was September 1st.
Also, Amy Ho is moving away. She's leaving the country.
She's leaving the country?
She's moving to Norwich.
What's that about?
Norwich is on the western side of the UK.
So people, if you're visiting London, make sure to
call up Amy Ho
and hang out. She probably will want some visitors.
Oh, for sure. What else terrible happened? Aggregate Space moved. They moved. Now at Classic Cars West.
Do they have an actual space?
I didn't hear about that. Yeah. I don't know if they're there permanently or temporarily, but they are in the space over there. Mm-hmm. And Hella Vegan Eats was the vegan food thing in there. Mm-hmm. So they're gone. There's a new vegan cook in there. Cooking vegan food still.
Okay.
So you still can go to Classic Cars West, get a vegan dinner, and see some art. I saw Dana Hemingway's show over there at Eleanor Harwood Gallery.
I saw that show too this weekend.
Well done.
Congratulations
to Dana.
It's so beautiful, I know. So great. When I went, two of her pieces weren't on, and I was like, these are light bulbs, and knowing Dana, they probably should be on. So of course, being me, I went to the desk, the person at the desk, and I was like, hi. I'm wondering if those pieces are supposed to be on, just trying to be so nice about it. And like, oh yeah, we just couldn't figure out where the switch was. I was like, well, according to the cables going up the wall and around, probably in that far corner. And they looked like, oh, you're right. I was like, oh my God, you guys.
I think Dana, they were very
young.
This.
They were very young. Dana, they have been taught where the switch is. Eleanor, it's been taken care of.
Everybody, it's okay.
Don't worry. I'm the kind of person who will just do this. It's sometimes very annoying, but
I'm sure
also
it lasted for three. You were the first one there, right?
Yes.
At the very opening of the gallery.
Yes.
Exactly.
No one else.
So no one. Okay.
It was just me. I was right waiting at the door at 11 or 12 or whenever you opened.
I'm sad though that you weren't at that opening because she had a dancer.
I know.
And you love dance. Okay.
Did you see the Coulter Jacobson show at Anglem Gilbert?
No, and that was right there in the same building.
That was right there in the same building.
How was
a big
it?
Doof.
How was
Sorry,
it?
Just kidding.
How was it?
It was great. It was great. Sometimes it's his work is very poetic and sort of experiential in a way. That's not a great word to use, but I feel like together it creates a whole experience. Like one piece at a time is something else. But
are they paintings?
They're everything.
Oh.
Photographs, well, paintings, oh. Some sculptural pieces.
Oh my God.
Drawings, gorgeous, amazingly detailed drawings. Just like, what the fuck? I don't see his work very often. I don't know if that's because he doesn't show a lot. I'm not quite sure. But there were t-shirts, like all sorts of craziness. It was beautiful. I highly recommend it.
Go check it out. Really final score?
10.
10 out of 10. Perfect score. Wow.
Did you see the show at Case Moore Kirkaby?
No, but they're definitely my top two of Minnesota Street projects.
Cool, cute. there weren't that many. There was like one of the rooms is dedicated to a collaboration between Larry Sultan and Mike Mandel, a series of photos in a from a box set. But then in the other room, there were maybe four other artists. And I have to say the there was a Jim Goldberg piece in the installation or the materials were. It was beautiful. I loved it so
what
much.
What was it made of?
I don't know.
Ooh, are we going to do forensic formalism?
Well, no. It was just, I mean.
Forensic forms.
How does that work? It just was like, it wasn't your typical photograph, right? Where it's like a photograph in a frame hanging on the wall, right?
Okay.
These things that you just really quickly identify.
But there was definitely something, there was a photographic basis. You could tell.
There was it was a photograph,
okay.
But the photograph was on some kind of paper that reminded me of like manila envelopes almost.
Okay.
You know, like it was
so
weird.
So maybe it was a silk screen print?
I don't know. Oh yeah, okay. That sounds good.
Okay.
Hmm.
Was there any kind of dot pattern in
it? I didn't notice that.
Okay. Was it grit? It wasn't just solid black on ground, on the manila or whatever paper ground, like the fucking Obey. You know what I'm talking about? Like Banksy stencil. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like stencil.
Well, here's the thing. It was kind of like in strips, right? So, okay, and they were so different.
The paper
they
were different in strips. Sizes. Different oh my size God. Strips.
I hate doing this because I feel like I always sound like a goddamn idiot. No. One, because I should have just fucking taken notes to be like, this is exactly what it looked like, okay? Well, I mean, and these are the materials that were used, and this is the date it was made in the fucking title. But no, I could just sit here being like, hi, I'm in preschool. This is what it looked like. It's okay, people. Sometimes we all have moments of being an idiot.
I love it because how it is. I get to be a detective. You're not an idiot.
No, it's fine. Okay. Anyhow, it just, I like.
Soon.
I just haven't.
They weren't strips. The paper was a kind of
But I feel
cream.
Like strips is the wrong visually when I think of strips. I think of like stripes.
Okay.
Right? Like
sure.
These even skinny things dangling.
Okay.
It was none of that.
No.
It wasn't even, and I can't say collage because it wasn't a collage either, which to me has a very different feeling. Were they more like curtains? No, because there was no rippling. Was it more like a wall installation? Maybe kind of like a wall work, but with material.
I assumed it was on the wall.
It's on the wall. Well, it's not hanging from a curtain rod, okay? Jim Goldberg, I hope to God you're not listening to this. I'm a big fan of your work, and I really like the way this one piece was installed. That's all I want to say. People, go check it out. Please describe it to me. The pieces of paper were hung with magnets. That I know for sure, because I did observe. I did check it out. How is this thing hanging?
Why are they not strips? Because they're not regular?
Yeah.
They weren't like...
And
like
they also
blinds.
Weren't like rectangular. They weren't these perfect shapes.
They were kind of
abnormal.
Torn. Were they torn?
No.
They were cut. Were
cut,
the edges?
Sliced, whatever. Yeah.
Okay.
Very clean edges. I'm using a lot of hand gestures here, people. I'm sorry you can't be here to observe. It's fine. I feel like it was like, do you remember back in the day? You probably don't remember. Back in the day when you had to send a letter to your mother and when you were visiting some other country across the world, they had these Avion, these letters. No, A-V-I-O-N.
Avion. Like
Avion.
A bird?
Like an airplane. The Postal Service had
and
this.
They were like
listen
blue
to me,
and red the, stripes
yes, thank you.
Around
the
edges.
The Postal Service had this paper that folded onto itself. Like it was the paper and the envelope itself. And I kind of.
Okay, yeah, I know.
And
what
I kind of feel
about.
Like this installation had that feel. Like it was the open version of the envelope where you could feel like you felt like it could fold in on itself and be another object. That's just what's coming to mind
so
now.
It was folded paper?
No, it wasn't folded.
No, but you felt like it could fold.
I'm just saying
it
there
reminded
were probably
you of
three.
Those.
Three large pieces that were put together to create this one piece.
Okay.
And I feel like they weren't these perfect rectangles. They were like shapes like that, you know?
Okay, she is doing an outline with both hands of what I would call a quadrifoil.
Okay, quadrifoil shape, right. God, guys. I feel like I should. I don't even remember what the image is right now. Right in this moment. Guys, we're just getting back to it. It's a little bit slow going. It's going to be fine. I want you all to support Case More Kirkerby. They have wonderful shows.
What are you looking it up? Don't you dare look it up, Mason.
I'm not going to tell you anything about
what's
it.
What's going to happen is this. I will go to Case More Kirkerby. I'm going to look at this piece this week, okay? Probably on Wednesday. Okay. And I am going to try to just figure it out with my eyes. And then
before you look at this sheet
yes,
of paper.
And then I'll look and check. Okay, Maysoon, another thing that happened while we were on our summertime schedule is I was a visiting artist at Acre.
Okay.
The residency.
In Steuben, Wisconsin.
That's right. And
did you bring back any cheese curds?
No. Oh! I didn't even eat any cheese curds.
Why?
Are you
it's
really
Wisconsin.
Into that? Oh yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah, I like the squeakiness on the tooth.
Yeah. There was an A&W root beer in the nearest, like, kind of, like, bigger little town
totally.
Called Boscobel, Wisconsin.
Boscobel?
Yeah, there was an A&W there that had phones at the table that you'd order from. It's really out there. And that part of Wisconsin, they tell you as soon as you get there, is called the Driftless Region because it because it wasn't flattened by the glaciers back in the day, in the far ancient distant past, the
millions of years ago.
And it's incredibly beautiful. Like, I didn't realize how pretty it was going to be.
So it was like hilly, mountainous.
Hills,
what was it?
Forest. Wow, like gorgeous. Not mountainous, but like hills. And beautiful forest and trees and deer, and you know, it's really out in nature. So sure enough, Dana Hemingway was there as a resident, and thank God for her. She kept me sane the entire time because I was really on the verge of losing my mind. As soon as I got there, I was like, this is the utopia we all strive for. Like, I was like, wow, this is awesome. Like, everyone's artists, everyone's like sharing and, you know, out here in nature, and like people are working on their work, and like, this is what you dream of. But then by the third day, I was like, actually, am I in a cult and I'm losing my mind because everyone can read my mind.
This was your opportunity to go full in on your cult research and to participate and really get into like group mind.
Yes, dude. And there was an artist there, Fred, who had done, remember how we talked earlier on the podcast about how Andrea Fraser is part of this group called Grex that does group dynamics workshops where they basically break down the power hierarchies in groups.
Yeah, like, I do remember the one we talked about.
Well, this artist who lives in Philadelphia, he has done it. He's been to that. Andrea Fraser facilitated one of the workshops he went to. And he was telling me all about it.
So he's not part of Grex. He just experienced
one
of
the... Well, now he also facilitates these workshops, but he doesn't work for Grex. Like, there's more than just Grex does these things.
Got it.
Anyhow, after I talked to him about it, I started thinking about that a lot. And I was just like, uh-oh.
Did he facilitate one while you were there? That would have been great.
I don't think it would have been great, Maysoon. I think it would have driven me nuts. Because you really
that's
have
part
to...
part of the experiment.
Oh.
You must sacrifice yourself to get down to the truth.
I don't know. And then I was just... Because, like, I think I didn't... I don't know. I had a great time and I would go back, which is crazy because also there were times where I'm like, oh, my God, am I losing my mind? I had a lot of studio visits and I just kind of wasn't having any kind of boundaries about it. So I'd just be sitting and talking to people for, like, long... times.
Oh my God.
And I started to think,
what were you doing like real studio visits or just like hanging out in your studio visits?
Well,
you were showing
studio,
work and
no, they I was I oh, was you were visiting conducting. Them. Got that's it. Why I was there. And so
that's why you were there? You weren't there as a resident?
No, Maysoon, I told you I was there as a visiting artist. If you're there as a resident, you're there for 2 weeks.
I see.
Anyway, everyone who runs it and most of the residents there were from Chicago. So right. I learned all about
Chicago.
Is that
because of Nick? Nick's bringing
Nick
all the
Wiley
Chicago
was one
out.
Of the co-founders. So I was asking all these Chicago people, trying to figure out how the Chicago art scene compares to the Bay Area.
Oh, yeah.
Art
okay,
scene.
Great.
Because I was kind of like, you know, I was hearing like some hot goss and stuff about stuff going on in Chicago. And somebody had told a story about like an artist who was being like a real dick to a venue because I think the person had worked at an art venue. And I was like, well, here's the thing. Like in the Bay Area, you only can step on so many people before you're going to start losing opportunities.
Yeah, before you kind of like cut out a little bit.
Because it's such a small community and people talk to each other, right? Mm-hmm. Unless you're like fucking... you know, hot
Tom Sachs,
Jesus. Yeah. Well, Tom Sachs isn't even
he's
from
not a
here, right?
Guy, yeah.
But if you're like hot shit so much so that like a place can't survive without you or something.
Are there people like that here?
I don't know.
Like, who are those people?
Yeah, I don't know. And so I was asking, like, in Chicago, is it so big that you can be a dick?
And no one will know.
And still.
Word doesn't get out.
Yeah, and still like get by or whatever. And they were like, no. But they were also talking about like, oh, you know, there's many different art schools. Like if you go to the School of the Art Institute of Chicago, that has a whole scene and niche around that. Yeah. And if you go to a different school,
like
then
Columbia
you might get a little kind of blocked out. Mm-hmm. You know, that the SAIC people get are kind of like.
Elitist, snobby.
Or I don't know. Yeah, that they just are clicky. Maybe. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if that happens here and I'm just not aware of it. Like that there's like CCA clicky areas and SFAI clicky. But I feel like there's a lot more like inner meshing and
Yeah. I feel like that definitely happens with like more of the like SF State, let's say, is clicked out of the CCA SFAI crew.
Oh, okay, right. Okay, so like if you're an art school like person, the state school
versus people. A private school, I think that's a clicky situation.
Yeah. And or but can be.
I wonder if it's choosing conscious.
Yeah. Or if it's just more like, oh, well, we know our people and
yeah,
it's harder to get a foothold in.
And there, I feel like there tends to be a lot of overlap between like teachers at SFAI and teachers at CCA.
Oh, for
maybe
sure.
Maybe more so than teachers at, I don't know. I could be making up because now as I think about it, I know teachers and who.
Well, are and all I over think also I would guess that people that go to private art schools come from a lot more privilege than people that go to state schools, and maybe they're also just starting out with a like, kind of advantage in the art world because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Not to cast aspersions on anyone.
Yeah. We might get some slapback on that.
You think?
I don't know. Bring it on. It's fine.
Make soon we got some listener feedback. They got a question for us. Okay, I'm going to just kind of paraphrase, and I want to thank you, dear listener, for this question idea.
We love a question idea.
But you didn't say explicitly that you want to be named, so we won't name you.
You're anonymous.
Okay, so this is what they want to hear about. How do artists who also facilitate / curate not get burnout, since a lot of the time the work they're doing for other artists is not reciprocated? Okay, which first off, I kind of don't understand what even that reciprocation would be. Okay, and the project you're facilitating often becomes more visible than your personal practice.
Understand.
Yes. You know what I'm saying here?
I understand.
So like, say you are doing a publishing project.
Okay.
Or you're curating. You're an artist who also curates shows.
Right.
Okay. And I wonder if maybe the reciprocation would be like, maybe the artists you're curating are also curators or like whatever, and they're not curating your shit.
I just don't think you can
but
be
like,
in it.
But like, how do you ever think, don't even think about that.
I don't think you can be in it for that. And so
yeah,
I feel
as
like,
soon as you start thinking that, like, why am I not getting anything back out of this? I think you're going into a toxic brain phase.
Yes, you're tunneling.
Yeah, that's bad. And maybe you need to stop.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't think that's just going to lead down a rabbit hole of bitterness.
So this is where it makes me wonder if like the listeners, the project that they're doing, that's their facilitation project, if that's actually what's sort of making them some money.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like where you're doing a couple things, maybe your art practice isn't at a place where it's actually making you any money yet.
I know I sure wouldn't do any kind of thing like that for free because it's not what
right.
I want to do.
But then it's hard to let go of that, right? Because it's become this thing where that you're now counting on because it's giving you some sort of income.
Right. Okay.
But then it's also like draining you and maybe taking time away from your personal practice. So how do you balance that is maybe also something to consider. As far as this question.
Or maybe it's also a thing that is more likely to get grants and other mm-hmm. kind of support than just your own thing.
Yeah.
Which I think that happens a lot.
But it sounds like the listener is like, because sometimes I wonder if like maybe the thing is to turn more energy towards this other thing that might be.
Towards your.
Well, I mean, I think I don't know, like, is the situation now to choose, like, do you have to choose one or the other? Or and how do you do that? And that seems kind of impossible.
I just feel like usually if you're asking like, oh, how do people not get burnout while they're doing X, Y, and Z? It's probably because you're burnout.
Yes. You're already there.
And you need to take a break or something.
Yeah.
Or bring somebody in to help you with the labor or whatever it takes to just kind of get back to a good place mentally.
Right. Maybe do a few less of those projects.
Yeah.
Like in a row. Maybe you have more space in between so that you have some breathing room and time to spend in your studio.
Yeah. And if it is the thing you're doing to make money, this is just my hypothesis, Maysoon.
Yeah.
And I've not tested it. But what if artists, instead of having jobs, okay, the way that they make their money.
Yes.
Because we're assuming the artist isn't making much money off whatever their art is.
Their work, yeah.
Okay. What if their day job is something that is not taking a huge toll on them emotionally?
Yeah.
Like doing a whole nother fucking art project or whatever.
You know what I mean? What are some examples of jobs that, like, for you as an artist, let's say, or for as someone who is an artist who experiences these things, what would be some examples of jobs that you feel like wouldn't be as taxing on your sort of creative self, let's say?
I don't know. Because to be real, like, every fucking job sucks your fucking life away.
I feel like being a barista would suck because you're dealing with shitty customers.
Maybe, you know? I don't know. Even being a gallery guide was like a fair amount of mental tax.
So maybe a job where you're not actually interacting with many other people. But yeah. Then would you feel too like isolated? Because then if you're in your studio, you might also be alone.
Maybe office jobs, but then everyone I know with an office job is also in hell. I think maybe life is just hell.
Oh my God. Are we in the good place?
No, we're in the bad. This is the bad place.
I know, we thought we were in the good place.
No. So, okay. Well, good that we examined that hypothesis and realized it's wrong because there is no good work.
No, I don't necessarily mean good work. I just mean like something that you can do without allowing it to take over you. Do you know what I mean? Like, for example, Jimbo, my husband, whatever.
So, you're married now.
Weird to say that still.
Did we ever talk about that on the podcast?
I don't know.
Soon probably. Got married.
I got married a year ago, guys. It's our 1 year anniversary last week.
So cute. Happy anniversary, Mae Soon. Jesus.
Cute.
That year just flew by. I feel like your wedding was yesterday.
It's so crazy.
Shit.
Shit's flying. Anyhow, I was just going to say, Jimbo's bandmate is, you know, he works at USF and I think he works in the office doing kind of like office work, you know. He's not like bogged down by it because he's like 9 to 5. I check in, I do my work, I go, I get to play gigs and enjoy and have health insurance. So it almost seems like there's like a, like that seems like an interesting balance to me.
Because you can leave and it doesn't go home with you.
You don't take it home.
Zero. You can't like be doing all this extra labor day, night, and in between. Yeah. You know, even if it's just in your head.
Yeah.
Like a lot of these other fucking jobs.
Yeah.
Or being on call or any shit like that. I think maybe that's the answer, dude.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like all these, like if you're doing a passion project side thing and it's not bringing you joy, then you need to quit. You need to quit or just modify. Find a way to do less. I wonder if the listener was asking us this because we do the podcast.
Yeah.
But the podcast is fun and easy.
It's fun.
Yeah. There's times where it's been less fun, but you know what I mean? You just figure out, you just got to always check in with yourself and renegotiate and figure out what's what. And then maybe you have a summertime fun time schedule.
Yes.
And stuff like that. I don't know. That's what I would say. And don't expect anyone ever to reciprocate anything you're giving to them in the art world.
Yeah, that is just, I think that's just the wrong direction to be looking in.
Right? Unless if you do want something from someone, if you're doing something for someone and you want something back, that's got to be agreed upon at the very get-go.
Yeah, I think you say at the beginning, sure, I'd love to do a trade with you.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
like, let's figure out what that is. Yeah. And like, try to figure out what you actually would want from that person and make it be known before you do all the work. You know, like, just you got to take care of yourself.
Yeah, because and I have been in situations like that where I was expecting something from something. Like, if you're doing a show or whatever and you're expecting X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
Like, get that shit written the fuck down in a contract.
Right, because unless it is, it's like it could disappear or it's not real, really, I guess is the thing.
Because that's a one-way ticket to upsetness.
And then you get bitter and then you kind of get on, you're like unhappy. It's like
vengeful.
You just got to find ways to avoid that.
Wrath is one of the 7 deadly sins.
Mm-hmm. You don't want to upset God.
Exactly.
All people
or
things. Did you know that Kate and I both became religious over the summer?
You know, I didn't, but Maysoon, just to reiterate to the listeners, I will be moving to Pittsburgh in August of 2020. So you have a year, listener, to sort your shit out and come with me.
I thought you were going to do a early year, like a primary thing. Were you thinking of doing that too?
I was thinking of going to Iowa in January and establishing residency there and then caucusing in Buena Vista County.
Specifically Buena Vista County.
Because
why that one?
Bernie and Clinton tied there.
Oh.
But it's a very different now, and I don't know if it would be the same. But I think also Buena Vista County, according to my friend John Gorley, who's from Iowa,
that
is where Steve King represents, the fucking white supremacist douchebag in Congress. Ugh. So, anyhow. But then John also told me I probably shouldn't do that.
Why?
Well, that I shouldn't
go
caucus.
Is he worried for you?
No, he wasn't worried. He just thought it was shady.
What does he mean?
That it's shady to just roll into a place and basically do carpet bagging where I'm just like, here comes a Californian into Iowa establishing residency to convince people to vote who, you know, in this place I've basically never hung out.
I think it's shady, but I fucking think politics are shady and we have to do whatever the fuck we can to...
Do you want
to
go with me?
I can't.
Come on, you can't take a week off.
I have zero vacation time right now. I just basically used all of my vacation.
Can't you just fake sick?
Sure.
Say you got mono.
I got mono. I went to Iowa.
Okay. I mean, we at least could just go to Iowa ahead of the caucus and campaign. That's fine.
I don't know.
And I talked to some people. I talked to some people from the Central Iowa DSA, mm-hmm. the Democratic Socialists of America. And I asked them, like, hey, is it unusual for somebody to come out to Iowa ahead of the caucus to help campaign? Mm-hmm. Like if you're from California or wherever. And they're like, no, it's if you're willing to deal with the logistics, then it would be helpful to have more people.
That's what I think.
But I also heard that Iowans are like sick of all the motherfuckers telling them what's what because they're there for so long. Mm-hmm. So anyhow, point is, Maysoon, the reason I brought this up was because I'm letting my hair grow out. So I will fit in more in the Midwest. I'm going to completely redo my look.
What? Are you kidding me?
I'm getting a whole new wardrobe.
You start wearing heels?
Maybe like kitten heels. I'm not trying to like fetishize or like, I'm from Ohio,
people. I
feel
like you blend right in the way you are, kind of, you know?
I'd at least need to get rid of the boots. I think don't these out me as an art freak?
Just get some new ones so they're okay. Not covered in any kind of muck.
No, I'm going to get some normal, like, womanly walking shoes. I'm going to really femme up.
I don't think you need to femme up.
I think
I
do.
Oh, my God. Come on. Really?
Okay, Maysoon. About 497 episodes ago, we did a whole bunch of listener feedback. And one person asked us, like, what do we think is the meaning of art? Do you remember that?
Whoa. Jesus Christ.
And like how we stay invested in, for me, art, my art, but then also how do we stay invested in the podcast? Do you remember this?
I briefly.
I'll put a link to that episode. And so we had a listener who responded to that listener's question.
Oh, cool. Great.
Okay.
Love that.
So this is what they said. I do art because if I don't, I'm mean.
Oh,
I'm a caregiver, and if I can't get a little mud on me, then I start stress biting.
Stress biting? Oh, no. Is that like biting
your nails? It's not pretty. The more mud, the less biting. I think they're a ceramicist here. I mean, I know they are. Mm-hmm. The less biting, the less jail time, and less rabies. Need a little art or people are gonna get all rabiesy, and besides I don't have money for bail. Artist therapy, and man, a lot of things are awful lately, am I right? Therapy me up and nobody gets a bit.
This person's a fucking comedian.
Took the listener survey and donated. At least it'll cover your commute. You make mine bearable.
That is so sweet.
Thank you so much. Okay, Royal Nonsuch Gallery has the opening on Saturday the 21st from 7 to 10. It's the show, the artist is A, who is now here at RTS.
Oh, awesome.
Permanently,
oh,
I think. Okay, yeah. And so please go see that show. And then also at Mercury Cafe on Friday the 27th, there's an Emma Goldman party thrown by the Emma Goldman Papers archive thing at UC Berkeley. So this is at Mercury Cafe in San Francisco.
I'm going to go to that.
Which is 201 Octavia Street. And it is Friday, September 27th from 6:30 to, I think, like 8:30.
Are you going
to
go to that?
Fuck yeah, dude. I don't understand. Are you supposed to wear an Emma Goldman costume?
No, Emma Goldman wouldn't. Why?
Why not?
It's not fucking Halloween.
Well, but it's an Emma Goldman party. Like, what does it... Are you just supposed to, like...
It's just celebrating her? Maybe there's going to be readers or books for sale?
Mason, are you saying we're not supposed to dress up like Emma Goldman?
I guess you can dress up for Emma Goldman. Like Emma Goldman. You could try out your
Let's
new
look. Let's do a brief reading of some Emma Goldman.
Why don't you try out your new look for the Midwest that day?
This is funny because she was like a hardcore anarchist, and we're not anarchists with all our electoral bullshit. We're trying to get a new president in, and she would have been like, fuck it, no more presidents. Anarchism urges man to think, to investigate, to analyze every proposition. but that the brain capacity of the average reader be not taxed too much, I also shall begin with a definition and then elaborate on it later. Anarchism, the philosophy of a new social order based on liberty unrestricted by man-made law, the theory that all forms of government rest on violence and are therefore wrong and harmful as well as unnecessary. I think that's going to deconvince a lot of the people I've convinced to come out with me to Pennsylvania.
All forms of government rest on violence?
Yeah. She's an anarchist. She's against...
I know.
Yeah.
It's great. I love that.
Okay. Well, now are you not going to vote?
Well, no. I'm still going to vote because we still have to suffer this fucking system.
Yeah. Or should we rise up?
What if fucking Bernie wins? The shit could get upturned.
Yeah? I don't think he's going to, like, dismantle the entire government.
All right, gotta go. Ready?
Okay, so listeners, write in and send us some listener feedback. We love you all so much. We're back on our normal schedule.
We'll be seeing you.
From the bridge.
To the other bridge.
To the island in between. This has been Congratulations, Pine Tree.
Amazing things. A new beginning. Amazing things. A new beginning.